How's everybody doing? I appreciate that too. And I love the fact that you think that she is on this thing. Parshas Kisisa begins with the din of Shtolem, including the din of Machzis HaShekel. The Gemara says that all the korbanos people had to be purchased from the Machzis HaShekel. A private person donates all of the money to buy the korbanos people, so the Gemara had a machlokes, the same called machlokes, between the Kukim and the Pushim. So in the form of the Orthodox, whether the korbanos would be kosher, they pass them that it would be kosher even the edge. If one person pays for all the money, the din is that you have to have everybody collect. Everybody has to give Machzis HaShekel. Of course, the Mishnah says you can have shekel or shikla. One person can give Machzis HaShekel on behalf of someone else, if the other one agrees. But let's say some one person donated $1 million to the Beis Hamikdash to take care of all of the korbanos shikla. So the Gemara learned that from a pasuk that would be possible for the other. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a tzlach in Brachos who has a discussion whether women are obligated to daven Musaf. The Mishnah says that women are obligated to daven. The Gemara says the reason why is because the tefillah is rachmanim. The question is, what about Musaf? The Rishonim assume that Musaf is not rachmanim anymore. The Gemara says the whole reason why you have tashlumin, if somebody forgot to daven mincha, so you daven ma'ariv twice, you forgot to daven shachar, you daven mincha twice, because tefillah is rachmanim anymore. And Musaf, the Rishonim say, is not rachmanim. Musaf is just mishalma form shasen, it's keneged ha'korbanos, so there's no din of tashlumin. But maybe since the Gemara says the reason why women are obligated to daven in general is because they're obligated, so maybe they're not obligated to daven. That's one reason that the Shabbat calls the name of the flock. And then, there's another famous reason, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Pharisee quotes it here, the name of the Stone Rosh. Stone Rosh is supposed to be a collection of tefillos written by the Rosh, published by somebody in the 1700s, and they had Haskonos from the Nelly Yehuda, another great rabbonim. Generally assumed to be a forgery. The fellow, the one who printed it, his father was a big Talmud Chacham, and he was, the father was highly respected by all the rabbanim, so they gave a haskama to the son on the assumption that he broke out of the wood, that just like the father was an honest tzaddik, and probably assumed the son on the altar, and generally assumed that the son was an akherit. He put in all kinds of apostolic things into the children. He wrote footnotes on the bottom, because he wrote the footnotes, that's called Kata D'Arsana. The text on top, they had it over here. And,
the
library. Label? Label is the important?
No.
Sergeant
General?
On the paper, nothing. They have the first edition, the first printing, must be worth a lot of money. But now it's generally assumed that it's 40. They have one or two, may have some chulas from the children, but many of them are assumed to be a 40. So he has there, in the name of the chulas Arash, all kinds of wild things. Among other things, he has that women are exempt from davening musa because women didn't have to give to the Machzis HaShekel. Only men have to give, women don't have to give. If they give, we'll accept it, but they're not obligated to give. Since the korbanos tzibur were purchased from the Machzis HaShekel money, women didn't have to give. So obviously the women were exempt from the mitzvah of korbanos tzibur. So the shachar in Chamayr, which is Rachmin, Siddat, and Mufi, Siddam, but musa, which is purely guilty for the purpose of the Mishama Fund for Senate. Women were caught up in the Machzis HaShekel, but they're caught up in the Korban Shiva. So I think the Tarasimus says this, and that it comes out of Chiddush. Once you assume, like the Psalm Rosh, then one should possibly come up with a Chiddush Lechumra, that someone who's not 20 years old shouldn't be the Baal Tshuva for Musaf. Why? Because many Muslims, some Rishonim hold in the Machlokes, who brought in the Muslim government, says that a cotton is exempt from Machzis HaShekel, is in a cotton before by Muslim, is a cotton before the age of 20. The Chumash, it says, Kalai Galak Kudu Yitain, Kuma Tashem, that refers to counting. Shutta Shalmikya here isn't speaking about the Machzis HaShekel for the Korban. The Chachamim Darshan, it says three times, Shumna, someone of them is referring to the Machzis HaShekel for the Korban of Tzibur, but the Shutta Shalmikya is going on counting. You just saw Shalmikya, you're going to tell us who they have. You want to count the Jewish people, so you have to only count those who are above the age of 20, because before the age of 20, you can't draft them into the army. But the Rashi quotes that he's going to before the age of 20. Nimdok Khan, Shane Park of the Mass, the age of Latoba, and Nimdok Khan. The whole purpose of making a census is in order to know how many soldiers you're going to have. Before the age of 20, you're not allowed to draft them. That's what Rashi interprets the Shabbat and the Tolkien. So that's the question whether this fear of the age of 20 applies to the Mishnah Machzis HaShekel Doris. It only applies to this. If one should assume that it does apply to Doros, And if you put together two and two, you should get 22. Before the age of 20, your prices shouldn't be above 2. Mm-hmm. Our friends generally didn't accept this, the summer rush. They hold that this one is wrong also, like many of the other original traditions that say that. You know, a woman is exempt from the Machzis HaShekel. A woman is exempt, is part of the giving Machzis HaShekel, but still, nonetheless, the Kabbalah Tigra are offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Are offered on behalf of the men, the women, and the children. Not just offered on behalf of the men who gave the Machzis HaShekel. If somebody is obligated to give Machzis HaShekel and he doesn't, and he didn't give, and he doesn't plan to give, then it would appear from his money and his business. When I'm not with the Kabbalah Tigra, I need to more folks are right there. That when they do the Shulmat HaMishkov and they take out, everybody gives Machzis HaShekel, and they take out some of the money in three stacks. Mishnah says in Shkolim that three times a year, 2 weeks before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuot, 2 weeks before Sukkot, they take out three big stacks of money. And that's called the Shulmat HaMishkov. They take out like the Machzis Shulmat, you have Shirai. They also take out the Shulmat HaMishkov, that's what you're going to use for the purpose of purchasing the Kabbalah Tigra. And that's all the Shulmat HaMishkov. And you use that for purchasing other inyanim in the Beit HaMikdash. And then from the three big stacks that you took, after you use up, after you've already bought all the kavanas that you need, and now it's 2 weeks before Shavuot, it's 2 weeks before Sukkot, you have money left over from the stack, that's called Moisa Shumat Alish. The three different things are Shumat Alish, the Machta Shekels, when everybody gives the money. And then they do the Shumat Alish, when the Machta is the Shumat, what's left is called the Shiori Alish, like she writes. When you do Kmitzah, you have Shirayim left. When you do Hafroshet Shumas, you have Shirayim left. You have Shirayim left. When you do Shnayis and Mishkolim, and the last parish and the Stubbis, you want to quote a lot of these things. You want to talk about what do you do with the other half of the support. And then after you've already purchased all the Kabbalah Tzibur, the leftover money from the tax is called the Moisa Shumas Alish, and you use that to purchase other things that have to do with Beit HaMikdash or Yerushalayim. So the writer says in the last parish and the that when they do the Shulmat Alish Ketanim Al Ha'ovet Bar Al-Gavir Al Ha'ovet Zidkan, they have in mind when the Kohen does the Shulmat Alish and he takes the money in the tax and he purchases the Kabbalah Tzibur, he has in mind on behalf of all those who already gave Machzis HaShekel and the money got lost, Al Ha'ovet, send it in the mail or send it by the Shliach and Shliach lost it. Al Ha'ovet, let's say someone sends money to the Beit HaMikdash, and the money is on the way. And the Shliach didn't bring it yet. So they have those people in mind also. Those money is on the way. Well, the horse is a question. They have him on, let's say, you're supposed to give Machzis HaShekel from a Shchodesh Adar before the Shchodesh Nisan. What if he didn't give? You have all year long. What if he didn't give all year long? You have, maybe you have some Shabbat. Till you die, I don't also to Chatzalot. If you give the Machzis HaShekel, they have boxes in Beit HaMikdash that's called Takon Chadik, and they have boxes that's called Takon Atikin. Old Shkol and New Shkol. New Shkol is the Nisan. There's Takon Chalukim, new Shkolim for this year. Tavshin and Ches, from this year. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan till Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tavshin and Ches. Then we have Takon HaTikin, old Shkolim. Whoever didn't give Machzis HaShekel from last year, from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, from 85 years ago, guy becomes a Baal Teshuva at the age of 119, and the realizes that he never gave Machzis HaShekel, has to go to the Beit HaMikdash and pour in a lot of money into the Takon HaTikin.
Can you tell how many years that he gives that much?
Yeah, and every year the Machzis HaShekel is a different amount. It's not always Machzis HaShekel. Every year the Beis Hamikdash has to announce how much money we need for the Machzis HaShekel. You never get away with less than Machzis HaShekel.
How do you calculate that?
You have to calculate how many months you're going to have in that year, 12 or 13. Because you're going to have 13 months, you're going to need more carbonic people. You have to calculate what is the population of Jewish people. The more people there are, the less money you need. Then you have to calculate from that population how many people do you think are going to give. Now, not everybody did. Then you have to calculate what's going to be the cost of bayment. What do you think the cost of bayment is going to be? So taking everything into consideration, Beis Nagol has to determine, has to declare every year how much everybody has to give. It says, Mekumishav, Oshuva Yarben, Bahadala Yarben, it means that no one can give more or less than the other person. But it doesn't mean that you don't give more than Machzis HaShekel. Most of the time they gave more than Machzis HaShekel. You can never get away with less than Machzis HaShekel. Let's say everybody's
exactly
giving.
Yes.
Every year is a different amount. This guy has to, the guy who does shoot at the age of 119, so before he dies, he has to give in a box from the Takon HaTikin, he has to put in a Machzis HaShekel for every year that he missed. He has to go look up in the New York Times from a Shchodesh Adar from every year, what does it say? How much was? Well, some of the habits are based on age. How much was Kolin? Not Tashmim and Ches, Tashmim and Zayin, Tashmim and Vav, Tashmim and Hey, every year. We go to all the Shkolin, the Tachan and people's life. So the Dreisha says,
yeah, interesting. It's not, you're missing out.
No.
Because in a Hebrew, it's probably the way you're doing
it. Mm-hmm. That was Baltak. So the Dreisha, the Lashon of the Dreisha is that Torah Mala Otsi Ligbar, that have in mind those who are, who plan to give later in the year. But let's say somebody is obligated to do Matzah Shekel and he doesn't plan to give later in the year, and they don't have this in mind. Let him bring ahead and not bring him the Kabbalah seat. Why should we have them in mind that we're being mocked the Kabbalah on behalf of that fellow who doesn't plan to give? But if some of them do have in mind the women and the children who are exempt from giving Matzah Shekel, they're not doing anything wrong by not giving, and some of them do have that in mind. Son of God approach to them. They say, or oh, Son of God is a safer on Shulish of Kivega, the same author as the Migdal daughter. He talks about the son in Rome. Some of them did have in mind the women. Some of the Kabbalah people were offered on behalf of the women as well. You can't say that the women are not guided Kabbalah people. The pastor says that they are guided.
Just right. They don't have to give the shekel.
I mean, they're not guided the Matzah Shekel, but they're guided Kabbalah people. I mean, Kabbalah Stephen in a sense. They have to see to it that the Kabbalah, they have to see to it that the husbands give their money.
The poor husbands would be tied up someplace and they would have to go and hire people to send them the Kabbalah.
Yeah. They'd have to give Matzah Shekel.
The single girl would have to rely on her father. A single girl would have to rely on her father.
She doesn't have to rely. The women are not mechayev to give the Matzah Shekel.
Yeah.
But the mechuyev to see to it that the Kabbalah Stibur are offered, they have to chase after the Met. It is their mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kabbalah Stibur belongs to everybody. Except the method of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kabbalah Stibur normally is by having the men give the Machta Shekel to the Beis Hamin. So the women are not mechuyev to give it. The women are just as mechuyev in the Kabbalah, so the men are.
But against the Shadr, whether.
Yeah, that you can't have a woman daven for the Yom and for Musa. Some of that. You can't have a woman to be the Baal HaTefillah of a Muslim.
But it would say that the Baal HaTefillah is babbling
with this Muslim. Yeah.
So this is again. Maybe the
Baal HaTefillah, we said the Baal HaTefillah is Muslim. Yeah, Mishnah Brewer quotes the Shlach, that the Baal HaTefillah is Muslim, because the only reason why they're obligated to daven in general is because the Baal HaTefillah is Muslim. The Muslim has nothing to do with Rachman. That's the reason that it's Shlach. That's Shalom. Muslim has no Rachman. Rabbi Feinstein writes in his statement, and the Igros Moshe, that the Rambam and Hilchos Tefillah, that in every tefillah you have to have three parts. You have to start off with Shevach, then you have to give Makosh, and then you have to fulfill the Toidoya. But this is also tefillah Hamsof and Tefillah, so you also have to start. You start off with the Yimel Rishon is the Shevach, and the Yimel Achron is the Moed Manach Nebel, has Toidoya at the end, then you have to have Makosh in the middle. There is a Makosh. Because in Musa, you also have Makosh. Shabbos to be davening off, we have a lot of Shabbos in the middle, we have a lot of stories there, after Kibashto, Yitzhak Moshe, all kinds of things there, after Echad, but you have to have Bakosha also. If you don't have Bakosha, there's no tefillah. Yeah, the Bakosha is a Lekenot, everything is David, and a Fartinik, and a Shem, and a Tzitzet, that's Bakosha. The Bakosha for Rukh is Dikas Salah, not a Bakosha for Gashmi, is Dikas Salah, it's also Bakosha. You have to have Bakosha. The one who dings us with the whole premise of the Tzlach, but he says that tefillah on the Tzlach is not Rachmi. Yeah, we tend to say that it's basic purpose of the Musaf is not Rachman, that's why there's no Tashlum. You have to have some Bakoshas Tzorochim, you have to have some Bakoshas Rachman. So you have it, it could be that that's sufficient to be Mechai with. That's a shine. The Mishnah Brewer calls the Tzlach, who says that the women are Pasuk and Dachman, the shine and the Sefer of Yiras Noah, who quotes from the Ramor and Shulchan Aruch, who quotes from the Rahai Gerd. If you have, let's say, a community and hire a kazi to daven for an omid, so how do you tax the members of the community to pay the salary of the kazi? Do they pay the fee nefashis or do they pay the fee momid? But some are much, much wealthier than others. So do you make everybody pay for the schar of the kazi in accordance to how wealthy they are? Or do you say, no, that everybody pays equally? The rabbi goin, the rabbi, of course, the rabbi goin, that you pay. Machzor between the precious machzor a few months. Half and half. So if the chazan salary is $100,000 a year, the $50,000 has to be collected a few months, and the $50,000 has to be collected a few months. How do you figure this out? based on the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, that's called in the Chayshim Mishpat, that if you have a group, those things, you get our dogs, folks don't sing them. Someone told me that they're selling it in the farm. Selling the whole, on the whole Chumash, just on the Bereshit Shema.
Oh, yeah.
The whole Chumash, yeah.
Who is that?
The Rizir HaZal was a Zayin and Vilna in the days of the Vilna Gaon. The sefer that many later Torah quote from, sometimes B'Shem Amar and sometimes Shalei B'Shem Amar. Must be a good sefer if people like to quote from. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama tells a story that there are a group of people traveling in the desert and they're lost and they're going to die. And they're going to die. And all their riches are home. All their valuables are in the bank, they're home. They only have their lives over them. So in order to creep out of this desert, they have to pay tayar, they have to pay an Arab, or whatever, they have to pay somebody who knows the area to lead them through the desert to show them how to save their lives. So some are much wealthier than others, so how do they pay? They agreed to pay $100,000 to the guy to take them out of the desert, so now when they get back to civilization, how do they put together the money? They never agreed amongst themselves how they're going to put together the money. Do they pay the Shimon, or do they pay the Fina Foshas? So the Gemara says that they pay the Fina Foshas because everyone's life is in danger. They're all going to drop dead in the desert. All their lives are in danger. My life is equal to your life, even though you're much richer than I am. My life is just as valuable as yours. So therefore, everybody has to pay the Fina Foshas. Everybody pays equally. So the Rizir HaZal claims that that's based on this pasuk. He says if you read the Tshuva of Rav Haigon and the Ramah, based on it, says it's based on the pasuk. It says Harasha Layav, Vadav Layam, everybody pays the same. Why? Because it's Koyfa Nafsha, the Chafa Nafsha says everybody's nefesh is equal. So since the Kavanah Sprever are purchased, are coming for the purpose of nefashas, and all the nefashas are shavas, just because one person is richer than the other, doesn't make that his nefesh is worth more than the other. So this is the Yisayt Adin of the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama. The very end of Bava Kama, I think, next to the way down. A few daphne, the very end, no one ever usually ever says it. Rabbi Honan started to start from the end of the message. It's not that no one ever gets saved. But just because on the first page it has the first word in the box, they said he's going to make a big box on Yeshna. Make a big box on Hakane, whatever. One really quick. And his yeshiva, they started from the end of it. So at the very end of Bava Kama, the Gemara has opened. So the Bidah Zohar claims that it's based on this pasuk over here. What happens, however, if you have another situation? Let's say there's a fire in the neighborhood, and no one's life is in danger, but all the property is going to be burned down, all the homes are going to be destroyed by the fire. And then they have to pay some firefighters from another community to come and put out their fire. They have to pay a fortune of money. And no, since no lives were endangered, the only thing that was endangered was the mummin, so then they didn't say that. You have to tell you, it's the mummin. But that's not to be compared to this pasuk in Chumash. That's what it says in Chayshim Mishpat. And what happens if they're traveling in the desert and they have their money with them, and they so their lives are in danger and their money is in danger? So then you pay. Maftalot imam and maftalot in the pasuk. You pay the guy to save you through the, to take you through the desert. But then you have to pay half of that. The Rav Haigon says, it's called of Aloha by the Ramon, Arachayim. But this didn't know how to him in Baruch Shammah. Before Baruch, when he has the dinim of appointing a Shliach Tzibur, so the Ramah quotes this from Rav Haigon, that if you would only appoint a Baal Tzvila to Dava Farnomit, be Moitzi everybody, but since the Tzvilas are connected to Karbonis, and the Karbonis are dinim of Hoshe Layab, Vadal Yamit, it's for the purpose of Bechap Al-Nam Shaseh, and everybody's nefesh is equal, whether you're rich or you're poor, so then everybody can just pay the Chazim of Fina Fosh, not the Fimam. But since the Chazim sings away, he doesn't just, the practice is, the Chazim doesn't just do davening Farnam. He gurgles away with Nigunim, that's the very luxury, though sometimes the Chazim supervises the Hashgokah in the kitchen and the shul. Sometimes he performs marriages or whatever, other things the Chazan does. He does other things in the shul. So that's already not l'chapra nafshe seichem. So that's already at his luxuries. When it comes to luxuries, so the wealthier the person is, and the more he's interested in luxuries, and the poorer the person is, so the less he's interested. That's why we assume that the Chazan and Bizman Hazeh should be paid salary by the community, machtel efimam and machtel efimam. So the function that he serves, the role that he's playing in the shul, is part and part. It's part for the purpose of the Chaparal Nam Shasef, it's Dhamma Parnamas, we might see everybody, and partially it's other things, but it really services of luxury.
Who was the rabbi?
Rabbi is a question. I don't remember in Shulchan Aruch that you have to look there. Mishnah Berurah says over there, there's a beer halacha there. It says if you have to appoint a chazan and he can be kaitin zezet and they can pay koshkein, that you can be kaitin zezet to appoint the rabbi. Rabbi is more important. That's the beer halacha and the fine print. It makes a kavachayman for that. I don't think that says it the same in the Shulchan Aruch, that you can be kaitin zezet to appoint the rabbi. What, the rabbi is a luxury? Yeah, it's done today. Years ago, that the rabbi just passed in Shilas. They just gave Tachoch and Musaf and some everybody needed it too. But today, the rabbi depends, and some shul is only a social director. He doesn't talk to any shaylos. He doesn't give any more. He just gives flowery speeches, he marries the people, he buries the people, he buries the people. All the things that you don't really need a rabbi for. That's, if the rabbi only does the functions as a social director, so you only pay the fee money. Only pay the fee money, because it's luxury. The rabbi only talks in Shabbos, and then you only pay within the question. Everybody needs a Shabbos system. If you have a rabbi who does a little of this, a little of that, but then some dino kechaz. But the rabbi also says, "Any dachaz?" The rabbi doesn't pay the master the dino. I don't know about this in the Shulchan Aruch. Strange. I don't think it says the favors. That the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha says, "Kalachayim, you have to appoint a rabbi, and the rabbi is turning to the chaz." Chazni can pull through without the digan, without the ivrit. You can tell someone can be from a siddur. We like everybody, but the rabbis, they don't know the din. How are they going to be able to keep them in the satir? That's what they make the kalachayim.
So when you come in the city, you bring in water, or you fill electric lines, and you apply these same rules, everybody needs it equally, and everybody pays equally. If it's not a necessity, then they pay according to their income.
Sometimes it's very hard to figure out, but that's what the kalal is based on. We treat the community as a system. Even though the people are not interested in, they don't get along, and they're not interested, but the halacha says, you treat the community as a shutzen. And then the shutzen have shibudim to each other. So to what extent are they mishubas? Sometimes with the woman, and sometimes with the nefash. So that's the Ravid Azad led to the Kuf Samal Gimel, I think. Ravid Azad taught them. Yeah. Ravid Hirsch has a tshuva about it. So it's printed in Maria 2 years ago. Based on the question, I have it in my essay about the women's minyanim. So it's only dinim that the kiruv of the community of the din has the din of shutzit. The din of choshen mishpat. We must have discussed a few weeks ago, didn't we, about the Mishnah says even though a kotzin is not obligated to give matzah shekel, but if he gives it, Hegdish will accept it. So the third person is bothered with a kasha. How can they accept it? The Hegdish of the kotzin is not kal. You may fool it. How can I accept it? Unless you say that it's a mukhlal samach liyish. It's the last year before Bar Mitzvah, and you hold that mukhlal samach liyish is a din min ha-Torah. Machloek is satan oim and gemara nid. Machloek is the Rambam and the Rabbi. How to pass it? If mukhlal samach liyish is a din der Isis, so that we understand. If you hold mukhlal is only a din der Rabbanan, then you start again with the Kash. Unless you say that the Mishnah is talking about a Kotzen who's left the Bar Mitzvah before 20. Okay, so then he's really, he's a god, he's a bar-dach, the purpose of being man. If you're all before the age of 20, not mechuyev, then you have 8, you have 7 years that there's no kasha. From the age of 13 till the age of 20, he's not mechuyev to give mas kasheka. But if he gives, he's a bar-dach. From the age of 13, he's a bar-dach, he's mimah. Say like that is good, but the shah is, but if you hold the normal way, that by mitzvah, you're mechuyev to do all of it, so the age of 13, you don't go and hold like that. The age of 13, you're mechuyev to give mas kasheka. Then the shayla is, how can the Mishnah talk about accepting matzah shekel from a kotzen? The hapella. How can it be? Unless we say that it doesn't mean the kotzen sheshokal, the kotzen gave matzah shekel. He's the father. The Mishnah says shokal or shiklo. The Mishnah in the Dharma and Hanabe that somebody can give matzah shekel on behalf of someone else. So that's what it means. The father gives matzah shekel on behalf of his daughter. So if someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of a goy, you don't accept. Someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of a monkey, you don't accept. Not God, but if someone gives not shekel on the air, the cotton is into that, yeah, because the cotton is Jewish. The only thing is that he's part of from giving, but if you give on his behalf, then it'll be good. And the Mishnah says that it sounds like the cotton himself is giving, not that the father is giving on behalf of the cotton. That's the cotton. So the Tzoyis and the Nesivis and Reishlan and Hay talk about this question. Reishlan and Hay has a din about the cotton who makes kinyonim. The Menatera, Cherishat, the cotton cannot make any kinyonim. And the Rabbana, the Mishnah hasn't gotten. They pick an oil on, they made a takana that a cotton shehigir loin, it's a putt, it's mikha mekha, hamem kerem emsa bid metalkulim. from the age of kibashis kibasheva, from the age of 6 or 7, he understands what it means a little bit. Mekachememka, so his kinyonim would be valid in the area of metalkalim. In the karka, the Gemara says nothing. But in metalkalim, there was a takana de rabbonim. So the tzoris claims that because there's a takana de rabbonim, that a cotton can be makne, they say hefker ben hefker. So the kinyon that the cotton makes, that the cotton is makne, the makta shekel to the hegdish, the kinyon is kal on a level of their eyes. Hefke doesn't have to work on a level of their rights. The receiver disagrees with that. Basically, he holds that Hefke doesn't have to work on a level of their rights only for the purpose of being mafke to take away from a person. But to be mafke lacherim, true, it does work. But that extends it, to that extent, it's only the rabbana. That's not the nafke. That's machlekes are rishonim. The tzoris and the receiver have a machlekes which rishonim to pass on. The Yosef quotes one of the rishonim says. What if a man is Makadosh and Isha with a ring? Hariya Makadosh is going to Tabazu. But he left the ring at home. Chacham forgot to bring his ring to the wedding. Left his ring at home. So he's Makna the ring. Let's say he gave the ring to the best man. And the best man forgot to bring the ring to the wedding. But they're all standing there under the chuppah. The Chacham, the Kala, the best man. So the Chacham says, Hariya Makadosh is going to Tabazu that the best man has at home. But Maimon Shloshtam. But the Gemara says, indeed, he's actually Gimel. He can be Makna the Talkin. Maimon Shloshtam. Why not? I gave the ring as a cousin to my friend, and he forgot to bring it, but the friend is here, the person is here, the kala is here. That's the kinyan, minus shloshtam. So minus shloshtam works with the rabbonim. So the kaddish, the isha with keser, the shava keser, with the ring, shava keser, my ring, shava keser, shava kuto. But how do I give the ring to her instead of giving it to her in her hand? I'm makna the ring to her, I'll give minus shloshtam. So that they say, because Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it says that she's only married with the rabbonim. Because my mishloshtim is only the rabban. So if she'll be mezaneh, she won't get nisa later on. So long as the anesh is sish with rabban. And if it gets to pierce the son of Rabbi Nechon, that it doesn't make any sense. Since there's a din of hefke, doesn't have to, so she should become an eshe sish on a level of the right. So the tzayit says, I'll buy it, if yes, it's right. Hefke doesn't have to, it's a din of the right. So the monkeys learned it out from sukkim. So it's certainly a din of the right. So the nesidah says, no, the Rabbi Nechon was right. And it's a big machloek, it's many, you show them, my friend, everybody's involved. Just look a little bit, so you find every region takes a stand on this issue. You see this whole, that Hefka doesn't, Hefka works on the level of their right to yes, but only to the extent of being Hefka my moment. And not to be Makta Lacherim, that only works with the Rabbanim. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim is really right. That if the Chosin is Makta the ring to the Kalai, they might have lost an emotional be as an nation sees the Rabbanim. Won't become an nation sees the right. So he claims that their case is right, and he says the haray of the Mishnah Shkolim that the cotton who gives the matzah shekel is not nothing to give, but if he gives it the hegdish kal. How do you know that? Why the hegdish kal? The hegdish not kal, they're not allowed to purchase kavod asiba with it. It's a chuvin to get money. So obviously the hegdish kal. Why? So it must be because of hefke doesn't have. That's what he says. And the Sivus who says that that's wrong. That hefke doesn't have doesn't work lahaknas lacherim in the only with the rabbanos. What does he do with the Mishnah Shkolim? He gives a different territory. He says that where do you put the Machta Shekel? You put it in the box. That's in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Hegdash is kind of with the King of Hearts. The Kotman gives, and that's a Machlaikis, right? That's Machlaikis. Taisis and Ramban, both but the Hegdash is kind of with the King of Hearts. He says, I write in the mission that it is to the Ramban. The Hegdash is kind of with the King of Hearts. Taisis and Baba Basin says, the Hegdash can't be kind of with the King of Hearts. Ramban says, yeah. So the whole thing is so strange, so both the Tzaytan and the Shidus are very strange. If Hegdish is kind of the money of the Kotnai Day, Hefker and Hefker, or the Kotnai Day, King of Chotzeh, it becomes Mom and Hegdish, but it's not Kodesh, but Dushas Machzah Shekel. It's still Kasha. How can you buy Korban Tzibu with such money? Someone donated money to Hegdish? Or let's say the bird that lays the golden egg and to fly over the Beis HaMikdash, and the golden egg falls into the Machta Shekel box. So they're allowed to use that golden egg for the purpose of purchasing Kabbalah. They're kind of with the King of Chatzah. So what? It's miscellaneous money. You're only allowed to use for the purpose of purchasing Kabbalah. It's the Machta Shekel being money. There was Hukdash Moshein Machta Shekel, but if Hegdash requires ownership of the money, I take King of Chatzah. It's miscellaneous cash, and they're kind of like they have kibbez and hefker.
It's for better to buy it than after kibbez.
Yeah. But hapella, have the place in the city, they're both hapella. The Tashta says you have to say one of the previous pshotim, that the cousin the Muslav Samach Liyush, you have to say before the age of 20, you have to buy it, you have to say the father gave on his hand. But to say the answers that the Ketzin and the Sidi gave are very, very strange. Anyway, the big issue in Chosha Mishpat, Reish Man ahead. Look at the Ketzin and the Sidi. Then the Torah has the din of Kiyo. You have to have a coin and have to have Kiddush Adayim back line before he does Avoida. He doesn't have to carry Kiddush Adayim back line before each and every Avoida. Let's say he does 20 Avoida during the day. He doesn't have to do Kiddush Adayim back line each time. Once he does Bayom, it's good enough. He's more in the second pair. He does Avoida without Kiddush Adayim back line. It's possible. The Avoida is possible. It's a mission in the beginning of the second pair. In the Zvachim, call us Zvachim that the Avoida was done by anoyin and azar and chusik kipurim and tzuyon and tome shlohu chusik and aglayim and this and that, the whole list of 25 people who passed the avoda yoyshe vatsmoyo left wing of the god bonus did the avoda with yachin but pasal to the yevin, all these things passed to the yevin more than that from stupid that if you did the avoda you have to do the aglayim and all your mustu that you have to do the avoda that you have to finish down aglayim. The Gemara says also the Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim has to be done by Midas. Yeah, I would say it has to be done by Midas for a simple reason, because then Yeshiva Bazar or Malchi Bezal go back. Of course you have to do by Midas. The Gemara says a different reason. The Gemara says not only will he, that may be that son Avera the Rabbon, that's the Shah, that halacha, any Yeshiva Bazar or Malchi Bezal go back, is the Yitzi Yeshiva Bazar and Nisa Deraisa, then how do you know that there's an exemption from Malchi Bezal? So there's this theory in two Rashis, the Bishra Rav Malchum Mishpon. One Rashi says that it's halacha Moshe Mishinai, I could be there was a halacha Moshe Mishina that included David HaMelech's name in it. But the Bishkur Rav HaChumash explains, no, the halacha Moshe Mishina was formulated, Eni Shev Bazera El El Malchus HaNecheres Bovad. And Malchus HaNecheres was determined later who was going to be. So first they thought Shmuel HaMelech thought it was going to turn out to be Shaul HaMelech. And he lost his chance because he didn't kill out HaMelech. He was too soft. And then when David was the more comments on the pasuk that describes him, it's more much tougher than I've heard. So it's a pasuk that describes David HaMelech as Odeno Hoitzani Yachi. That's a pasuk. You can do that young. Adin Hoetzni. Adin Hoetzni. So the Gemara says he was, when he came to learning, he was very Adin. He was coming to the Rebbe. He was very sweet and very pleasant. When he came to fighting back, he was supposed to take. He's a tough guy. He didn't carry all his softness from the Beis HaMedrash to the leading for fighting battles the way Shaul did. Shaul was soft in fighting the battles. And he didn't carry back his toughness from battles to the Beis HaMedrash. When he came back to the Beis HaMedrash, he learned the Nahas. He didn't develop a fresh, rough, murderous attitude from serving in the army. It's a difficult balance. To be very soft, sensitive in life in general, and then to be rough and tough and murderous when fighting back, it's very difficult. So David HaMelech had that ability to do that. So that's why he was there, to be the Malchus HaNecheres. So that's one Rashi. The Rashi says that it's halacha Moshe Mishina, that kach nemar halacha, that ein yishir bazar elu Malchus HaNecheres, and then it turned out that David was the Malchus HaNecheres. Not that the halacha Moshe Mishina said chutz mi David of Zara. How could it be that they had a tradition before David HaMelech was born? And the other Rashi says, no, the whole din of Ein Yishiv Barzah is only the Rabbanon. So, and the Tzad, let's say that it's only the Rabbanon, so the Gemara wants to make it that this is a din deraisa, that the Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim has to be done by Midah. Even if you hold that Ein Yishiv Barzah is a Nisa deraisa, but it doesn't pass over the yet, the Gemara says over here, if you do the Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim by the Yeshiva, it's no good. The Gemara says it's possible for the yet. The Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim has a status like Avoida, just like Avoida has to be done by Midah, because it says, Lamad Lusharis, and if you do the Avoida be Yeshiva, Tassel, that's the mission at the beginning of the second paragraph of the Zachary. You do the Avoida, Yoshei, or the small, etc. Yoshei is one of the Psalm of the year because there's Lamad Kibon Bachar Hashem, Lamad Lusharis. For the Bach Bishma, that's the Lamad Lusharis. The clear was only Bamida, so to all the year, the Kiddush Taraglaim has to be done, that's the Bamida, not the Yeshiva. If you do the Yeshiva, the Kiddush didn't do the Kiddush Taraglaim, Tassel to the year. There's more lines out there, it's Hukash Tavoida. But Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim, it's Hukash to Avoida. Just like Avoida has to be done Dafka Bamida, so the Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim has to be done Bamida. So at the beginning of the second Perek in Zvachim raises a problem. How do you do Kiddush Adayim Rak Laim? If you do Nefilas Adayim like we do, so it's not so bad. Wash one hand, wash the other hand. How do you do the feet?
Has to be standing on the ground with both feet.
No, stand with one foot. How can you stand with one foot? Aren't you going to have to lean on something? In order not to fall down? So the defendant is just washing one foot, so Nishka fellows, they can stay with one foot and pour one foot. But if all you have to put at this the hands on top of the feet and wash everything all together, that's quite a stunt. So the Gemara has a machloket tatanaim, exactly how did the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash have to do this Kiddush Tanav line? The Gemara says, what does it depend on this machloket? It's how you quote the Kiddush Tanav line. It depends whether smichas ti yeshiva or smichas ka amida. This is then required zapke amida. And if you do a ti yeshiva, number one, you violate the Yisr, either the Reis or the Rabban, then yeshiva bazoi, not allowed to sit down. And number two, it will be possible, the Kiddush Tanav line will be possible because it has to be done zapke ba amida, not the yeshiva. So the Gemara has a machlekes tatanan, whether smicha is ki yeshiva, smicha is kamida. So that will determine how the kiddush and avaglam should be done. The Gemara then dwaf and learns from psukim that it's not ma'akev that it should be dafke done with the kiyor. Even though the pasuk says, yosisa kiyor l'rochtso, l'rochtso n'mena, anu v'anu v'mena, n'esedem asagleyem. So the Gemara says, lav dafke the kiyor. It can have any klisharit. You can use any klisharit you want. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Biyat Migdash when he quotes this thing, and he says that l'chatchila you should use the kiyor. And but yeah, but if you use any other klisharit, it'll also be good. But there is a mitzvah l'chatchila. If you read the Chumash, the Pshuta Shamikra sounds like you have to use the kiyor. The Ramban HaChumash says that the Rambam is wrong. But the Mishnah says in Yuma that the Kangar Lagan Kippur didn't wash from the kiyor. So he used to fill up a golden container of water, and then they used to pour it on the klisharit of water, and then they poured it on the Kangar Lagan. If the Rambam is right that it's a mitzvah l'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus is to do kiddush tanaglan dafka to the kiyor, why on Yom Kippur on the holy special day in which you do all the avodah in the fanciest fashion possible, dafka Yom Kippur they did it in a b'di'evit fashion, why shouldn't they do it in an oifen of l'chatchila?
What does kana mean?
The kana is the floor, no? The basis on the bottom. To hold the kiyor up.
Why should that be specified in the tosset? I mean, everything that you build has a base. Why should
you
say
you see the kiyor? That's the tzura that the kiyor has to have a kan. Could have made
how
a kiyor.
How did you make without a kan? Wherever the bottom is, that'll be the kan.
Yes, I have a special way. I would have had to look like. That's done according to the artist's imagination. Rav Soloveitchik once said he doesn't think that the Ramban's kasha is true. He said if you look in the Rambam, he doesn't say what the Ramban is saying. He doesn't say that l'chatchila you have to do the kiddush ha'aglayim, kiddush ha'aglayim using the kiyor. He says they have to use mei ha'kiyor. Mayim shen is katsha v'kiyor. And to the evid, if the mayim when it's katsha in any klishar, it says it will be good. In the Mishnah Yuma, it says they used a different kli to pour it on the kangaroo's hands, but they took the water from the kiyor. They took the water from the kiyor in a golden container, they poured it on the kangaroo's hands. So the Rambam would agree with it, that's v'chad kiyor. Because the water wasn't katsha initially in the kiyor. But if the water would be miskadish in a different klisharis and then pour it on the clean things, that's what the Rambam says, that would only be b'di'evet. What is the relevance of this parsha b'zman hazeh? We don't have any Beit HaMikdash. So the Rebbe Hazor quotes the Tshuvos HaRashbo, that's quoted in Arachaim. Quoted in the beginning of Arachaim, that before you daven Shachris, Mincha Amar, we're supposed to wash Nitzilas Yadayim. The more talks about washing hands in the morning when you wake up, you say Nitzilas Yadayim. So in Arachaim, they give three different reasons why one washes his hands. So the Rajba says, the Rambam writes in the Rambam sheet is that you wash with a broch, Alan Philip and Dan, before Shabbos, before Mincha, before Myra. The Rambam says that's why you wash in the morning. That's why you say Alan Philip and Dan in the morning. And even those who shenim disagree with the Rambam, they hold that you don't say a broch, Alan Philip and Dan before, when you wash before Mincha and Myra, the general practice, we don't say a broch, Alan Philip and Dan before we wash before Mincha and Myra. But still they agree, that's the din of the Gemara, that you're supposed to wash until the Sedayim, not Raglayim, but until the Sedayim, you have to wash before Davini Mincha and Mayim.
That's because our tefillos can come to Bar.
Right, that's what the Rajma writes, because that, the Rajma and the Tshuva, right, because that tefillos are Keneged HaKavan.
Mishnah Brurah says that if you wash your hands
at
the Bar, and then it's time to Davini, you have to wash your hands again.
Chatzchil is supposed to wash hands, right?
Even if you had it in mind, you knew that if you are, you're going to die. Mm. Why do you need to wash again? It has to do with this kavana or not?
No, I don't think so. You shouldn't have a hashtag down. No, you should wash your hands right before you do the avodah.
This right learning in between is called a hashtag
down. Probably.
Should person, how much a person who has a way to wash his hands?
Shouldn't miss his man of Dalim. Be careful not to miss his man of Dalim. Wash his hand before.
But he didn't, then he should pass it up in order to start my head with the seaboard.
I guess so.
Well, over here, we should wash our hands.
If Shachanot, they quote that, they discuss that, why people are mezalzel in this day. But in principle, it's not really right. It's not really right. We should really go wash our hands before we die. We should really finish here a few minutes earlier, and then wash our hands. How far is called the Yad? The Kohanim also wash their hands before they do it. Parallel to this, then, how far is the Yad that they have to wash their hands? The Kiddush Lahem Adlaim. So we had the Tosfos in Hamotzi B'mar Peiko, Hakosi B'mar Peiko, Hamotzi B'mar Peiko. So the Tosfos points out that there are three opinions on how far the yad is. The one opinion is till here, till the knuckles. The other opinion is till the wrist, and the third opinion is till the elbow. Three different sheets. So we take the centrist position. We wash. Till the wrist, but it's not right the sheet. A lot of times the Kohanim don't wash until Sadaf. Even on Yom Kippur, it's said, even on Yom Kippur, when you wake up in the morning, so there's a machlek, it's all year long how much you have to wash, whether till to take off the Ruach Roh, whether just wash till here, wash till here. But that's only about Ruach Roh. So there we pass the Mikra Adin till the Nakhon. So we expect the Duchenin, Mikra Adin, we really hope that they should wash their hands till the wrist. But Mekel, that you don't have to wash till the elbow, but they should really wash till the wrist.
Even on Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Even on Yom Kippur, it says the first, they should wash all the way till the wrist.
Even all year, we're washing. Not just through a floor, but the rash when the Rambam was washing the davening or acting above the Shem of the whole day.
Yeah.
So Yom Kippur should wash more than his own knuckles because of other reasons.
Then we
do the minimum because of the floor.
Right. But the Dukhan even says they should wash all the way to the wrist.
And the person who's sick and has been bred, it's also like Dukhan and Yom Kippur.
No. Just to follow the Ikra Din, it's just till the. Just to the knuckles.
Do you need a chatzir for these people who sometimes don't go all the way to the elbow?
I've never seen it. I don't know. I'm not a kohen. I'm not a lady. So I'm rarely there when they wash. I never saw. Does anybody wash all the way to the elbow?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
That's because the three sheet that's the closest were never firmly set, which one the bottom.
Wait, the minis chatzir means stus.
One opinion of Tosis. I don't know. It's one opinion of Tosis. How far is the regal? I thought that they have to wash, for Duchening they don't wash their feet. But the Shadis and Beis HaMikdash. Rachasi Yideihem V'Raglehem, what does Raglehem mean? So we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have Halacha L'mayit in the Shadis, but we have it by Chalitza. The Chalitza shoe has to be Chalitza's Roiv HaRegel. Kol Tanala Me'al Ragloi. Chalitza shoe has to be chayv and roiv ragloi b'diyevet is good roiv. Rubik kula b'al chatzili should be kol. Whenever you have a mitzvah, when you say rubik kula, I say the rubik kula is only b'diyevet. Chatzili should have kol. So the chalitza shoe should really cover up kol regal. So what's called the regal? So the chalitza shoe does not go to the knee. But we know for sure that the knee is not part of the regal, but shadow is the ankle. Is the ankle considered the top of the regal, or does the regal, the chalitza shoe does go past the ankle? Not like a regular shoe, but below the ankle. Does that talk a mikra as in? Does the chalitza shoe have to go up so high? Well, no, we're just afraid. We have one chalitza shoe that fits everybody, one size for everybody. So we're afraid in case we have a giant, we want the chalitza shoe to cover up his regal, but really by normal people, maybe the regal ends lower. Maybe the regal is only the foot that goes sideways, and whatever goes up is already not called a regal. So it's called something else. So me'al ragla. One talks about a regal. Kolsanala me'al ragla. There's a regal, and there's me'al regal, and there's me'al de me'al. Twice removed, twice above. So the Chacham Sofer has a truth about this lahalocha, about what's called a regal. What's called choyf and droyva regal. The Chacham Sofer has to have kol a regal, but he has a droyva regal would be good. What's called a regal? Only the flat part, or up until the ankle? I don't remember the Gemara. It must be the same Rishi Gemara about this. I don't remember. I looked in the Rambam this morning and said, couldn't hold the Bias Mikdash. See, that would give you the. I couldn't find in the Rambam the details. I couldn't to look back in the Gemara, how far, someone said the theft or something, how far is called the regal? Ram doesn't call it how far is called the yad even. The three shikas that Tosis has, how to learn the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Erechin about this. How far the yad goes, whether it's here or here or here, for the purpose of Kiddush Dar Adlam, how to read the Gemara. The Ram doesn't quote anything about that. Shtama, I don't remember. Shtama, that Gemara in Erechin also talks about how far the regal is. The Mishnah in Erechin about people who donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, guy donates his weight in gold. He's a heavy guy, he has to give 350 pounds of gold. He's a skinny Malay, he gives 90 pounds of gold, his weight in gold. What if he says he donates the weight of his arm in gold? So you have two issues, the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara discussed. How far down does the arm go in Lashem and the Yodam? Lashem and the Yodam is not necessarily identical with the Dini HaTorah. I mean, because I want to donate the weight of my arm or the weight of my leg in gold. Does the arm go from here? The arm is from here. From here, what's called the arm? What's called the arm? A hand. He wants to donate his hand in gold. The weight of his hand in gold. So how far is the hand? And after you determine how far the hand is, then the question is, how do you figure out the weight? You chop off his hand, you put it on the scale, or you put his hand on the scale, you push down. The Mishnah gives you a whole chesed. How do you calculate? The Mishnah says you cut off a donkey's arm, because the density of the donkey's arm of a hamor is pretty similar to a human arm. All cheshbon gemara. So on the one aspect of that Mishnah, how far is called a hand and how far is called a foot? If he donates the lashon and the yadam, if he donates the weight of his hand in gold or the weight of his leg in gold, so there the gemara says, how does that compare to tefillin? How does that compare to yotzo? How does it compare to the Kiddush Dan Adlai? That's where the whole place you get the whole discussion from. Then the Torah has a din of Shemen HaMishkan for the purpose of being the Kadesh, the Mishkan, and the Kohanim Gedolim, and so on. Morris says, we mentioned yesterday, Morris says that Yoshio HaMelech is going with all of these things, the Arai, and the Luchais, and the Shemen HaMishkan, and we put all the good things into the basement of the Beit HaMikdash. The whole Bayi Sheni, when they had Kohanim Gedolim, they didn't do Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishkan, because they didn't have it. That's an interesting thing. The Zoras Bavoida, Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Dachman Beis and Beis, comments on the Kalim. On the Kalim in the days of Chizkiyah HaMelech, when he took back the Kalim in the days of Achor, they used the Kalim for Avodah Zarah. It's not called Sukkim in Avodah Zarah. But those Kalim that we used for Avodah Zarah, it says, Echanu v'hikdashnu. Mar says they touched them up, and they'll mekadosh them anew. Rashi says when they were used for Avodah Zarah purposes, they were somehow yoytzei l'chulin, and then they had to be mekadosh them anew by doing Mashiach b'shem and HaMishkan. That's what Rashi writes. After that the Ramban quotes on this pasuk says it's not enough in the pasuk Achesh Abseitha Tishmeru, and one opinion is that this pasuk is the Malka Achesh the Malka Rav Pikuach Nefesh, that in this pasuk you learn that Pikuach Nefesh is the Hashab also has to be in Yuma, the end of Yuma. There are various drushes, how do you know that Pikuach Nefesh is the Hashab? So the Yerushalmi in Yuma, the last parak in Yuma, learned it out from Achesh Abseitha Tishmeru.
Is it Machlokes, or you can learn both of them? I mean, you said it's Machlokes, Mila, or
The Ramban writes it together. Achesh Mamayit, Mila, and Pikuach Nefesh. How can Mamayit two different things? It's either Mamayit one or the other. Nothing to do with the Mishnah.
So what's the Machlokes? I mean, tell me it's Machlokes.
Yeah, you show me it's a machlokes, but the Ach tells me that Mila is the Zman is Deich HaShabbos. The Ach tells me that Kof Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos.
Why don't we say to Mamayit is the Kovitzibur, Zman?
Some of we have other Pesukim for that. It says the Feirish, no?
Other Pesukim for Kof Nefesh and Mila too?
No, the other Pesukim for the Kovanis Dibur Deich HaShabbos on the Purish. It says. Vayda Lo Satomin Vinitka. It says. If you bring Vayda Lo Satomin on Shabbos, that was fair like that. You bring the Kabbalah Sibur, Shizman and Kavu on Shabbos. But what nefesh emila is a machlekes. What the makor is? Some amarim say that this is the pasuk ach. This is the meal. Then it says that Shabbos is an oit. Shabbos is a bris. It says ki oisi beni benechem is an oit. Then it says Shemarim Shabbos bris olam. Shabbos is a bris. Everything is special. Shabbos is very special. So the fact that Shabbos is called an ois, the Gemara says this is relevant with respect to tefillin. That's how we know that you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos, because tefillin is called an ois and Shabbos is an ois. You only need the ois. You only need the ois on the weekdays when there is no ois of Shabbos and Yom. Shabbos and Yom Tovah Gufa Mois, so you don't need the ois of tefillin. But it means that it's forbidden to wear tefillin. It means that you're exempt. You're not obligated to wear tefillin, but it's permissible. The whole deal in Achrayim, Shabbos Aryeh has it. Others just don't. The Shaitan quotes and says that it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov Chol Hamoed. The Nisa to wear tefillin Chol Hamoed. He obviously holds that it's a Nisa, not at all. Not like the Zayah. The Bavli, they claim it would appear that there is no prohibition. It's just that you're exempt. You're not obligated to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Why wear tefillin? Isn't that true? So the deal. And then Shabbos is called a brit. Shabbos is bris olam. What's the significance of bris? I'm not exactly sure. Just remember once Rav Soloveitchik, remember someone asked Rav Soloveitchik that Franz Rosenzweig in his book, who is Franz Rosenzweig? A Jew became a Baal Tshuva, no, in the middle of the First World War or something. Something like that. And then he wrote a whole book about Jewish philosophy, but he didn't know too much beforehand. But he wrote it, he patched together, he became a Baal Tshuva in the middle of the war, I think. And he patched together different things. A big point in English stuff is the Magen David. The Magen David has 6 points, and this represents this, that, and the other thing, after sets and guns and bubble mice. That's what the Magen David represents. It's not necessarily a Jewish symbol at all. Moshe Feinstein has a truth about the Magen David and the Purim. He said he doesn't know.
He's
not a Jewish
symbol.
I don't think so. Moshe doesn't have any mocker. So the among other things, he has, why do you, in the davening on Shabbos morning, why do you say Yismach Moshe Machnas Tel for Kevinam and for us the local Christ Moshe, why do you talk about Kabbalah Sateras? So he says that since the Gemara says in Shabbos that Hakol Noidin, that Shavuos was on Shabbos, so every Shabbos we celebrate Kabbalah Sateras. We usually think that Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah Sateras. Yom Kippur, it says Lubashnias we give, Yom Kippur we celebrate Kabbalah Sateras, or Shalpeh, whatever. Arab Yom Kippur, we eat and drink, whatever. Purim, we celebrate the second Kabbalah Sateret, you know, the Kippur. That's the Sukkah, the Goyim say, because it's also Kabbalah Sateret, Yemesh and Isma Sateret, fine. So we have 3 days a year that we think that we're celebrating. He says, every Shabbos is celebrating Kabbalah Sateret. Because the Gemara says, Hakam Oidim, that the original Shavuot fell out on Shabbos. And that's why in the davening on Shabbos morning, we speak by Yismach Moshmat Neschelka, about Kabbalah Sateret, because that's what you're celebrating on Shabbos. So remember, somebody told us over to Rav Soloveitchik. And he thought that it was Hagbah. He thought that it wasn't. So someone else said, why do you talk about Yitzmach Moshe? Why do you talk about Yitzmach Moshe? So the Rishonim give reason. They give the good explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik said right on the spot. He said a different pshat, a different tone from what the Rishonim said. He said, we want to stress in the Nusach HaTzila the fact that Shabbos is a bris. But there was a separate priest's bris. There was a priest's bris on Eretz Yisrael. There's some mitzvahs to have a separate priest's bris. We want to stress the fact that there was a separate priest's bris on Shabbos. So Shabbos is one of the Aseret HaDibris, and the Aseret HaDibris are called the Luchas HaBris. They're called the Luchas Oedis, and they're called the Luchas HaBris. So the first thing we mention is Yismach HaMosh Matnas Telko Shnei Luchas Avonim Harad Yod V'chosu Bohem Shmir HaShabbos. So we know right away the significance of Shabbos that is referred to as a bris. There's a special priest's bris on all the Aseret HaDibris. Then we say V'chein Kartu V'sera Secho. So why do we pick only this? You can pick Shabbos. He mentioned so many different places. Because this is the pasuk where Shabbos is referred to as bris olam, as having a separate priest's bris. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought the pshat and the siddur was. I don't know, the Rishonim give a different time. That's the why it says about Ma'amen HaTchina, that Shabbos went through different stages in the history. The first there was Atik Yidashto, Kodim Ma'amen HaTchina, Shabbos was Shabbos Bereshus, and Sheshis May Bereshus, Shabbos. You are Chalakim HaSem HaShem HaKadosh Shoysoi. Shabbos is Kviyah V'Kaima, from Sheshis May Bereshus, Shabbos is always a separate day. Then at HaSinai, Shabbos had a new added significance that the Jewish people were Metzulah to fulfill Shabbos. That was the second stage in the history of the history of Shabbos. And then the third stage is going to be Atarech, and Shim Karechot, that Lossi Love, it's going to be a Yom Shekula Shabbos Miluch L'Chai V'Olam. That refers to the three states. I think the Torah quotes that, a lot of other Rishonim say that. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what the Kavanah was all the year. That shows that Shabbos is a Brit, because the Luchas Sahedis are the Luchas of Brit. And another place in Chumash, it refers to Shabbos as a Brit. Shabbos has a separate priest's Brit. The Netziv, on this Pasuk, quotes Rav Chaim Brisker. He quotes Chasni Hagoyen Rav Chaim Alevi. It wasn't his son-in-law, it was his son-in-law's son-in-law. I don't know, I have to find out. Did he have another son? Did he have a son-in-law by the name of Chaim Alevi? Gotta look in the book. I don't know, so he discusses over here. The Ravid Azov has part of this also, but not all of it. We have a din in the Gemara, the Mechal Shabbos Beferesi, din in Ka'atah. So there's a deal in the Nachrayim, whether this is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. The Moshe, that Mechal Shabbos Beferesi, who shechs the shchitot and the veil. You're not allowed to eat the meat. So is that a real din deraisa? That if you eat the basa, you're over the yisun and the veil, and I thought you get mal? Or it's only an yisun derabbanan. But that's a machloikis in Yeridaya. It's not simen, with it. It's in the base, in the gimel. But a mumash shachat is a machloikis in Kusho. How do I find him talking about it? Whether it's a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. If you hold it, it's a din deraisa. Where is the mocha in the Chumash? He didn't say that Mechal Shabbos Beferesi din kach. So the Netziv on this pasuk has in the tiny footnotes on the bottom, the Herchav Dovah, on the bottom of the Hamid Dovah. He quotes the Tshuvas Hataz Beis. He quotes the Tshuvas Hagoinim. And the Tajbitz also quotes it from the Balawitver that is learned out in this pasuk. That it says, Osi Beini Beinech Medar Sech Medaski Ani Hashem Mikadishchem. I give Shabbat to the Jewish people and I give them the Kedushas Yisrael. Sounds like whoever doesn't keep Shabbos is not Jewish. That's the marker of the Netziv. So the Netziv says, not bad marker. Obviously they hold that it's a din deraisa. Yeah, should even be the tzinnah. I don't know. That was something you have to patch up a little bit. So the Netziv says, sounds good, but he says, to say that Balita holds like that, that must be a mistake. The Balita can't hold like that, because we all know that the Beisgei says, in Ebenezer, but it is, I think in Ebenezer. They say it quotes the Balo Eter as saying that a Machal Shabbos the Pharisee didn't cut him wrong if he does Avodah Sakarka. If he doesn't do Avodah Sakarka, so he's not a Machal Shabbos the Pharisee. So if it's based on this Pasuk, but what is it, where do you see a distinction between Avodah Sakarka and non-Avodah Sakarka? So everybody asks in the Balo Eter, what in the world are we talking about? So it's between Avodah Sakarka and non-Avodah Sakarka. It doesn't make any sense. I remember seeing the Rabbi Woman say, Rebbe Sefer, he quote coming from Blazer Silver. I don't remember what, if she said it to Tor Sefer and he was Magia. You remember what? Instead of Avodah Sakarka, she said something else. I have it here in my office, I have to look it up. Some of the different uses shouldn't say Avodah Sakarka. This doesn't make any sense the way it says. So then it's him holds that that's what the Balita said and that's what he meant. So what is he talking about? So he says the Balita must hold that it's based on a different pasuk in the end of Mishpatim. We didn't have Shabbos at the end of Mishpatim. It says Bachorish of Akatz. Which one? No. That's the only key piece.
It's right before
Kishin. That's right. שייך זעם טאט מאסך אויף יאמא שווי טיש ביז מאני וואך שאַך דאַ חמאַך מיט נאַפש פאַר מאס פאַר קאש מאט דאַ טיש שמע שיל מאכן מאס אַז קיל ישע מאַ פיפ איז דאס סינט דאָ האז דאַ קאַפּע דאָ זאַרע רייט נאָכט צו שאַבדס דאָס איז אַקט יא יא סו סינט יא האב אַ פיי דאָ זאַרע שאַבדס לידינג רייט אין צו אַ פיי דאָ זאַרע סו דאַטס דאָ רילאַשאַפּ צו זיין מאַחל שאַבדס איז דינה קאַקום פון דיר. And that must be the marker of the Balaita, that it's only Avodah Sakarka, because in the Sutta says on that pasuk, why do you need so many psukim to be matter about Shabbos? It says 100,000 times it. What do you mean, not a pasuk? So the Mechilta says, Rashi quotes it again. Mechilta says, what do you need, not a pasuk? Rashi writes, Vayom HaShvi Tishbos, Ap Vashana HaShvi, like the Yorka Shabbos Bereshis from Koma. Even during the Shemitah year, you have to be observed the laws of Shabbos also. What's the Chiddush? So by time I shouldn't argue the point and think, Kol b'chol Hashana kruya Shabbos. The whole year is Shabbos. And maybe Latinin kol Shabbos b'reish. Maybe you don't have to observe the laws of Shabbos. So the pasuk repeats it again. And it says, Vashvit is contained in a Tashta Pasigidal. You have to keep the laws of Shemitah. Then it says, you have to keep the laws of Shabbos, even during Shnat HaShemitah, you have to keep the laws of Avodah Zarah. So he says, the Pasuk is obviously referring to the laws of Shabbos that have to do with Avodah HaKarka. What's the Havmina? That you're allowed to do Tofer in Shnat HaShemitah? Why? Just because in Shnat HaShemitah, Shabbos is awesome. The whole year is Shabbos. The laws of Shemitah only affect Avodah HaKarka. So I would have thought that the laws of Shabbos that have to do with Avodah HaKarka don't apply this year. We have a substitute for those. All the hilchos avodas hakarka are substituted with hilchos avodas hakarka of Shemitah. So the pasuk in Mishpatim is only speaking about Shabbos of avodas hakarka. And then the next pasuk says that it's hukish avodas zara. So that must be the makar of the balaita, the mechal Shabbos for hesi dinakak. But it can't be like the Tashbitz quotes that the balaita also holds like the gonim that it takes on the pasuk here in Parshas Kisis. So this is his pilfer. He quotes the Tashbitz and he quotes the balaita. But Avodah HaKarka, if it's Balita, must be based on the other part, it can't be based on this part. Then he says, V'chasni, Hagoyen, Rav Chaim HaLevi, said a different mocker. How do you know Mechal Shabbos before Hesi is Dina Ka'akum? Where did they get it from? So he said, it's enough in the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi said, when they went out to collect the mon, when they went to collect the mon, Vayetim Ram, they went carrying out pots and pans to collect them on. So the Mechal Shabbos. Hashem gets angry and he says, how long will you violate all of my laws? What did they do? They were just Mechal Shabbos. They didn't violate immediately. I don't know the answer. Mishma Mitzvah. So there's a Yerushalmi somewhere. Am I cutting or something? Who the Torah's name calls
it?
Oh, so the Rav Chaim said that that's the marker for the din. That's the marker in the Chumash for the din. The Yishami says that there's a Rai from Chumash, from Torah, and the Viva from Ksuvim. So the Rai from Torah is the Pasuk in Mishalah. Rav Chaim said that's the marker. That's the Drosh of the Mechal Shabbos and Chesed in the Kal. The Mor Chulin has the din, and that's hey, the Mor David says what Pasuk is that you learn it out from. That's the din it seems has the whole discussion, where is the Pasuk?
Get a quote of the Panic City, they have a Mimer Zohar, which Shabbos meal. They have a quote over there too. The Pasuk in Yeshaya, and that's sort of a Tiny Steward. Shish Mosh kept so strong. What's the Pasuk then? And it says it's called Mitzvah, you say? Give me the city.
The Midrashim understand the idea of the Lukha is that it's like Kefir Kibishim. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Lukha was the Tidim Kipnuya, but the Tidim Keshis Ishas Insah. You see that it's like giving over the Kefir Kibishim. They want, but Rabbah wanted to give a visible symbol to many souls to represent the special relationship that he had with them, that the Chosm gives Kefir Kibishim to the Kabbalah. We assume that not all. That not only did Moshe Rabbeinu have to put the lukas into the yard, even the shiver lukas that he smashed the first lukas, also we went off and borrowed. I mentioned that in this because the Yisrael has a machlekes where the shiver lukas placed in the second arm and then was placed in the same arm. That's how the Baal was doing it. The shiver lukas were placed in the same arm. And this is clear that the shiver lukas had to be treated with respect. The Gemara is seen to derive from this possibly the principle that there are two different categories of mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are some objects that we use as tashmishi kushin, some as tashmishi mitzvah. No, some as the parish of Bolo, an old pair of tefillin, or a tefillin zekel, or the old cardboard boxes on a stone, whatever. Those are put in Geniza. You can't throw them out in the garbage. You have to put them away in the shameless box. Same thing, tashmishi mitzvah, on his rocket, you can throw it out in the garbage. How do the Gemara know that?
How do you know?
Throw it away. It's not together with the eggshell and the oxygen. Right, but then Shabbos has a rite. Based on the Gemara in Shabbos, has a rite in the Gemara that you can't throw together with the dirty things in the garbage. You have to throw it separately. You have to wrap it up nicely in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage.
You can't throw it away.
So how does the Gemara know that? The Tashmishi Kedusha after the Noah Bowl useful for the mitzvah has to be in the for the Pashtusu, that was learned out from the Pashtus. Some learned out from the Pashtus that the Shiva Yilut has been an open bar, that he was and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed just to throw them out, even though there were no, nothing missed anymore. The Obstabrus did when he smashed it. According to the Obstabrus, there was nothing even before he smashed it. The Obstabrus was supposed to be
there. Why they buried
it?
They
had to put it in an Ocham Mechubat, so they kept it in the yard, and it's nice that I'm burying it. Carried around the Kovadik, buried the Kovadik.
That's a bus going in?
It's derived from a bus. It might be right from a bus. Because not only did he have to put the Lukas in, he only had to put the Shiru Lukas as well.
Where are we?
No, I don't know if the Pasuk is in this week's study. Masheini came by Tashmishe Mitzvah. That the status of Tashmishe Mitzvah, the mocker that the Tashmishe institution exists, is based on a different Pasuk. That's the Pasuk by Sukkot. There's Chavah Sukkot, and the Gemara Darshan's in Sukkot Aftet, that Kishen Shechalten Shemaim Ala Chagidya, Chachachin Shemaim Ala Sukkot, where Chag refers to the Korba Chagidya. And the Sukkot has the status of Kedusha, Kol Zman Mitzvotza, but after Sukkot is over, then it doesn't any longer have any status of Tashmishi Kedusha. The same thing, let's say, the Shefer or the Sikri Sivan Mitzvotza has the status of Kedusha. After Zman Mitzvotza, it no longer has the status of Kedusha. It's only of a temporary nature. The Ramban says that you learn everything after that Pashuk of Chagas Sukkot is over. Ramban about Ramban Bishin. The Kedusha Ramban about
Ramban Bishin.
On Rosh Hashanah, if you blew Shaita with it, if you didn't blow Shaita with it, that's only how Zman Allah
Gershon is. The year before is
also Hashanah? No. The year before, so when Rosh Hashanah is over, so the Zman Amit is up. So then you can throw the Shaita out. Talis, every day the mitzvah of Talis applies. So the Ramban says, when is it called? After the Zman HaMitzvah is up. Ramban says, by the Talis Shebolo, the Talis is so worn out, worn and tattered that you don't have to use it anymore, then it's called the Zman HaMitzvah is over. So with respect to Shaifer, it means when Rosh Hashanah is over, the Zman HaMitzvah is up. It's okay by Luba.
What about night? You don't wait for Talis
night. Nevertheless, he says that since it's daily mitzvah, so it's not called the
Zman HaMitzvah.
If you're using it up or ruining it when you use it, it just applies to the shoulder. Okay, same shoulder. Whatever the din is by the shoulder, the tzach claims that it's only off with the din of the shoulder, meaning it's off. If you have your things up on the shoulder, then it's a machlech. I don't know if they use that. The Ramban says the Talmud Shabbat. I don't know if they do not. The Ramban talks about a Beit HaKnesses. The Ramban claims that the Beit HaKnesses, what is the Beit HaKnesses? The Ramban and Miguel and Teres Benehu here claim the Ramban quotes it by Rishas. The Ramban says that it's a Tashmish HaMitzvah. The building of the Beit HaKnesses enables you to daven there. Not exactly the same as the Shaykh or Sitzit or Lubov, that without that you can't fulfill the mitzvah. Here you can daven without a Beit HaKnesses also. They said that since the building, the structure of the Beit HaKnesses enhances the davening and enables you to daven better without interruption and interference and so on, the some people have it, other people have inverse. And he says that therefore has a status of Tashmishan Mitzvah. But he says, but what happens if everybody moves out of the community and nobody uses the shul anymore? It's locked up, nobody uses it. So he says, well, it's after the Zmana Mitzvah is out. So the Kedusha disappears. Because it's only a Tashmishan Mitzvah to begin with. After the Zmana Mitzvah, and then I'll tell you, the Kedusha disappears. So all the Gemara from the Gila that speak about what do you do with the shul after nobody uses it anymore, those are all from the Rabbanim. I tell you there's no problem at all. And the Rana Megillah disagrees with the Ramban. The Rana Megillah quotes the Ramban and disagrees. He thinks that in addition to what the Ramban said, that it's a Tashmish and Mitzvah, it's also a Tashmish and Kedusha because it's a Migdash Miyat, similar to the Tamid. And maybe a talent that you don't use is like a shul that you don't use, but even though theoretically you could use it, but the mic and nobody lives in the neighborhood, so nobody uses it, so the neighbor kept his Rana Megillah. Maybe the same about talent, I don't know. But the Ramban's Lashon is the Talish of Bala. Talish that war on.
What's the
Lashon
of using up the...
Hanoshal Kilo. It could well be that this is why there's a distinction between a Jewish body and a non-Jewish body as far as Kuhr is concerned. Why the Mitzvah Kuhr only applies to a Jew who dies, not to a Kuhr who dies? Because a Jew who dies, he's going to stop this and up to say. That however Allah makes the shati see it for Shema Chayv and Kuhar HaLamagadan with the Teresh and Yisrael. I would like to say Teresh and Yisrael. So that you used to say because the Malach thought the baby Kol HaTeres Kula before he was born. And even after the baby is born and he doesn't remember a word, it's like Shivei Luchas. Like Shivei Luchas. The thing is that Shivei Luchas has to have Gneza. It's all in the word. It's a Tashmish Ekdusha. The body of a Jewish person has the status of a Tashmish Kedusha because that's what they all have in common. The first Tum and Mezuzah all have in common that they have Dibrei Torah. That's the definition of Tashmish Kedusha. So the Jewish body also has Dibrei Torah on it before the baby was born. After the person was born, they learned Torah. Even though after he died, there's nothing left. So it has the status of a Shibrei Luchas. Mashena came by the Nochrim, true, their bodies were used. If you have fine Nochrim, they were doing mitzvahs during their lifetime, they were putting their 7 minutes in and out. So their bodies during their lifetime have to be respected. It's a nice joy, even the Tashmishay mitzvah. But after the Zmana mitzvah is up, after he dies, they're making chopshin, then there's no longer any status of mitzvah. That's like all other Tashmishay mitzvah. After the Zmana mitzvah is up, so it's up, so it's up. Yep. The real Tashmish Kedusha, because the definition of Tashmish Kedusha is Divrei Torah. Like the Gemara says, "Hola Ma'aseh Zeman," it says the Torah Shenitzvah. Every person is considered like he says Torah Shenitzvah. Even if he never learned the word of Torah during his lifetime, he really did before he was born. The Malach Torah. I forgot everything that he left. So it's like there's the Torah Shetvola. It's like the Shivei Luchas. So all the Ksav was removed. So you're left with the Shivei Luchas, and it still has the status of Tashmish Kedusha, but it has to be ignored. At the end of Kisi, we have a difficult topic. The way the Gemara interprets some of us have one, or LFP, Alpia, the one, or LFP, Kabis, the S.E.S.U.L. The Gemara says in Gitan that some of that the creature's gift is only made, the Ike creature's gift is made on the Torah Shema Peh. Alpia has one, or LFP means Torah Shema Peh, Kalati, Kabis, the S.E.S.U.L. So how do you mean some of us have one, or LFP? The Gemara says that refers to Torah Shema Peh. So I'm Shema Peh, Yatama Shema Yom, and Alpia. What do you mean? They should write the Torah Shema Peh before? See, Alpia has one, or LFP before, Kalati, Kabis, the S.E.S.U.L. So the very difficult how to read the puzzle. Perhaps maybe tell our fallback. So perhaps you could say Pshat T that the Benezra says that sometimes word T has the meaning of apathy, not understanding the fact that right down the Tereshim of Kedusah, even though the increase of this is really going to be on the Tereshim of Fem, not on the Tereshim of Kedusah. Maybe that's what it means. But so the Chassam Sefer has a different Pshat. The Chiddush of Chassam Sofer quotes the Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Samach, where Tosfos quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk in Hosea. More there in Gittin quotes the Pasuk. Echtov lo lubei terosi kemor dar nechshofu. If I would have written everything down, this stop, there wouldn't have been any Tereshim Alter. Then kemor dar nechshofu, the Jewish people would have been like outsiders. Why would they be like outsiders, like strangers? The Tosfos says, because whatever we have in Tereshim Alter, the Christians have a program, and they say that they are the Jamil Jews, and they have the Torah. They have the Bible, and they have more than the Bible. They have two Bibles, a bigger Bible than we have. They have the whole Torah, but the Torah Shabbat they don't have. So that's what the Prophet says in Novi. If I would have written everything down, then the Jews would have been in Gunston up the creek. We would have been bankrupt. The Christians would say they're the real Jews, and we have nothing. But because we still have the Teresh Bapeh that they don't have, so that's why we have something that's unique. So he suggests that that's the Pshat how to read the Pesach, according to the Gemara's interpretation. That you have a miut here. Only write down what I give you the Teresh Bapeh, because based on the Teresh Bapeh, I teach for this verse Yisrael. Only Dram Shibakhtah do you write. Dram Shibakhtah, you're not allowed to write because the Ikhik Kriti Zrid. The unique status of the Jewish people will be based on the Torah Shibakhtah. Therefore, I ask you not to write down more than the Torah Shibakhtah. Only write down the Tanakh, and that's all. No more.
The first Ela is Shibakhtah, it should be written. The second Ela is what's not written.
Yeah, that's how the Gemara understands. He's referring to different Ela. The only problem is how do you read King? But the Chassam Sofer says, he means because, it doesn't mean notwithstanding the fact that. But he says, only write down Torah Shibakhtah, because I want you to have a special unique status. If you're going to write everything down, so the Christians, the Umatah, will appropriate everything, and they'll say that they're the real Jews. They won't have anything to prove that you have something special. Because I want to make a creature Jews based on Torah Shibakhtah, so don't write it down. Only write down the Torah Shibakhtah. Okay, so leave that at tomorrow. Try to say an MLC. Come back to normal. Not me normal for too long. Okay. Anybody went to the wedding today? No.
Bar time.